I do, Siggy said from the back seat.
Look, you two, I know it appears as if we have unwittingly found ourselves on a great adventure, but it's important to know that this adventure started years ago. We are just now playing out the plot. Little things that were said, little things that were done, all those things, both granular and grand, shaped the choices and consequences that have led to right here. We are sitting in my ex-wife's car with my daughter traveling through the dark, hitching a ride on a train. That's not a surprise, because it was mapped out by actions that began long ago. The exhilarating part is that the little things we do, you treating Clark kindly, him causing me to lose control of the car, me finishing this sandwich, they are all starting points for new journeys that will propel us into the future. Rin took another bite. After chewing a moment, he continued. You look at me and see a wizard. I look at everything and see magic.
You have mayonnaise in your beard, Clark said. Rin smiled and wiped off the mayonnaise with the end of his robe sleeve.
Perfect example, Rin said. We should all be excited to see how that very small thing, me wiping my face, might affect us in the future.
I know it'll make it easier to look at you, Clark stated. Siggy laughed. Ozzy looked at Rin. He couldn't decide if he was wise or full of it. The wizard finished his last bite of sandwich and then dusted off his hands.
Now, he said, you were wondering when I'd sleep, and it seems as if magically I now have some time to do so. This train is long and going fast, which means it must be traveling pretty far down the line. Sleep seems like a good way to spend my time.
Rin leaned the driver's seat back and closed his eyes.
I suggest you do the same, he said without opening them. No one should be tired, because who knows what tomorrow may bring. Oh, wait, I do.
Rin shut his eyes and was out. Ozzy leaned his seat back a little, but not so much that Siggy didn't have room in the back, and Clark got comfortable on Ozzy's stomach. Ozzy plugged the phone into the car charger and held the glowing screen next to the bird's silver streak. Siggy leaned forward from the back.
This is not how I saw my night going.
Really? Ozzy asked. Riding the rails wasn't in your plans? I would think this was normal since Rin's your dad.
Actually, I hardly ever see him. He's not always been around during my life.
Corfelt.
Something like that. Your father must be amazing. I bet you're the only person in the world with a sentient raven. That's not normal.
To be honest, Ozzy said, I'm not really sure what is. The hidden house I live in, my parents' mysterious disappearance, me hanging out with a wizard and a talking metal bird, you being in the same car as me, is all this normal?
Who's to say? Clark whispered. Remember that sign we saw next to Volts in Otter Rock? The one with the horse holding a TV saying, all your neighbors will be jealous?
Well, if a horse can talk, then anything is normal.
I don't think horses can really talk, Ozzy said.
Sure.
Then how did they get that picture?
I know the world has plenty of crazy things in it. Ozzy shifted onto his side to see Siggy better. I've read books. I just wonder if what I'm going through now is extraordinary or commonplace.
It seems to be commonplace for you.
Ozzy reached up and slid open the cover of the car's moonroof. He could see the stars and felt the click-clack of the track beneath him.
Are you regretting the fact that you were nice to me at school? Ozzy asked. If you'd been mean, I probably would have just stayed hidden in the woods. I don't regret it at all. It's not always been easy, feeling a little different than everybody else here. It was nice to find someone who is different in their own way.
You mean different because your dad's a wizard?
because that's magical.
Siggy nudged Ozzy.
No, different because of the color of my skin.
Well, that's magical too.
Siggy smiled. She leaned back in her seat and closed her eyes. As if in chorus, the bird shut down and the wizard was out as well.
Ozzy stared at the stars. The somewhat normal high school life he had enjoyed for a couple of weeks seemed like a past as distant as his parents. Still, somehow here he was with Siggy, and that reality helped him believe almost anything.
Chapter 47 Heavy Sleeper. The train traveled at full speed through most of the night. As daylight began to break, Ozzy woke up and put Clark on the dashboard so that he could catch some of the sun's first rays. He tried not to stare too much at Siggy as she slept in the back seat, but she was a firework he couldn't easily look away from. Rin yawned like it was the most important thing a wizard could do. He adjusted his chair and sat up straight. His hat was still on, but his beard looked like it could use a wash and a good combing. The terrain they were traveling through was hilly and treeless. The earthen banks on both sides of the tracks were high and wide. It took a couple tries before Ozzy could get a phone signal to see just where they were.
"We're in California," he announced. "Does that seem right?"
"We may have gone farther than I wanted to," Rin admitted. "We should probably find a way off this train as soon as possible."
"Right," Ozzy said. "I figure when the train finally stops, we'll have to get out and leave the car. I mean, how can we..."
Rin started the vehicle and switched on the heat. Ozzy looked relieved.
"Oh, for a second I thought..."
The wizard took the emergency brake off and turned the wheel to the right.
"Wait, what are you doing?"
Rin smiled and then pressed hard down on the gas. The car flew off the moving railroad car with Ozzy screaming. It landed hard against the raised ground at the side of the railroad tracks. The small white car then bounced and rolled down an incline towards a dusty road.
"You're insane!"
Ozzy screamed. The car fishtailed and rocked over the dirt, coming to a skidding stop on the hard soil of the small road. The train just kept on going. Rin put the car into park. Amazingly, Siggy was still sleeping in the back seat.
"I don't believe you!"
Ozzy yelled.
"It's not necessary that you do."
"We could have died!"
"I see no proof of that. Besides, I couldn't just leave Patty's car on the train."
"He's crazy, right?"
Ozzy asked Clark, who had just now come to life.
"I don't know. What happened?"
"Well, do you see where we are?"
Clark bobbed his small head.
"And do you see that moving train over there?"
More bobbing.
"How do you think we got off it?"
"Does it matter?" the bird asked sincerely.
"What an intelligent answer, Clark," Rin said. "I'm very impressed by how wise you are."
The wizard put the car back into drive and began speeding down the dirt road.
"You realize that's something a maniac would do?"
Ozzy argued, not willing to drop the conversation yet.
"A maniac would drive his car off of a moving train with his own daughter sleeping in the back seat."
"Well then," Rin said, "maybe I've misjudged maniacs all these years."
"It's just that I really want to live to see my parents again."
"Good for you. You should write that down. A goal written on the air is subject to the will of the wind."
"I think I'm going to be sick,"
Ozzy said. Rin turned down a bigger dirt road and headed east.
"Where now?" Clark asked.
"We'll find a gas station and then find a road that takes us in the direction of Albuquerque."
5 miles later, they turned onto an actual paved road, and a few miles past that, they saw the first signs of civilization.
There were some old houses and a gas station at the crossroad where the road they were on met the highway they needed to take. Rin stopped at the gas station. Before filling the tank, he announced that he needed to go into the store.
I need to see a wizard about a griffin.
Ozzy sat in the car with Clark and a still-sleeping Siggy.
I'm not sure we're doing the right thing, Ozzy said.
It's the wizard, right?
Yeah. We almost died twice in the last 12 hours.
If he was here, he'd probably say something like, most everyone dies every second of the day.
Right, or if you almost died, that means you probably didn't.
Good one. What about robes are cool and I wear a hat?
Not great.
Clark hopped up onto the headrest of the driver's seat and fluttered his tin tail.
I wouldn't worry about Rin. On that tape, your mother told you to talk to this Charles guy, and Wizardy is helping you get there. How many people have a wizard on their side?
Rin was back out at the gas station.
We'll need some money to pay for gas, he said. I'd pay, but since this is a business trip, I want to keep things on the up and up.
Ozzy handed Rin some money, and he went back in.
You're lucky your parents had money.
I'd feel luckier if I had my parents instead.
Soon you might have both.
Rin walked back out and began to fill up the car.
I'd better use the bathroom myself.
I'll never understand what you humans do in there.
Well, that's a real upside to being a mechanical bird, I'd guess.
Ozzy woke up Siggy and explained to her where they were and how they had arrived at that point. She was madder about having slept through it than angry about what happened.
You have a lot of your dad in you, Clark observed.
After using the restrooms, Ozzy and Siggy walked the aisles of the small gas station and purchased a few sodas, chips, and boxes of cookies. When they returned to the car, Rin was done pumping gas and was putting the nozzle back on the pump.
Wow, Ozzy said. I didn't look at it when we got out, but the car has really been beat up.
It does have an awful lot of character now, Rin said. Patty never liked the color, so maybe she'll see this as a great opportunity to get it repainted.
It needs more than just new paint, Dad.
The poor vehicle had been driven off-road by Ozzy and had jumped onto and off a moving train thanks to Rin. It was scratched and dented, the front wheels were out of line, and the back of the car looked closer to the ground than it had before, but miraculously, it still ran.
Rin opened his door and got in.
Ozzy and Siggy walked around the car and did the same thing, but on the other side.
I got some snacks, the boy reported as he put on his seatbelt.
Excellent, and the journey can continue, Rin said. If we drive all day and make as few stops as possible, we can probably make it to Gallup, New Mexico by late night. From there, it's only another 3 or so hours.
They drove for a while and then entered the state of Nevada. Through most of Nevada, they listened to an audiobook that Rin had downloaded. The book was called Margaret's Weeping, and it was nearly as bad as its title. When it was finished, all four spent a long time discussing it.
Why do you even have that on your phone?
Ozzy asked.
It's on loan from the public library. I heard it was good.
Now you've heard it was bad, Clark said.
It had merit, Rin said, trying to defend the book. What about the few parts where Margaret wasn't crying?
She had nothing to cry about in the first place, Siggy pointed out.
That's true, Clark tweeted. All that money and 2 parents and a house with another house in the back. That's what you need, Oz. One of those extra houses so that I can have my own place.
Really? The cloaked house isn't big enough for you?
Ozzy asked.
It's filled with all of that stuff. A bird needs room.
It is quite cluttered, Rin joined in. Have you ever seen that TV show Hoarders?
No, I've never watched TV.
Never? Siggy asked.
Well, as you know, when the teachers didn't feel like teaching, they'd put a movie on. But that's it.
just like Margaret, Clark said. She never bought her own groceries. That's not a very good comparison.
I agree, Rin said. It's more like Margaret's boyfriend, Keith. He never learned to care for anyone but himself, and Ozzy's never seen TV.
Are you too aware of what makes things similar or not? Siggy asked.
You know, the books in Corfelt are so different. You don't read them, you absorb the words. Sit on a pile of books and in a matter of moments, you're that much wiser.
You sit on books there? Clark asked.
Well, holding them in your hands is more efficient and less likely to draw stares, but some wizards, well, you know, wizards, anything to be different.
Are there schools in Corfelt? Ozzy asked.
Of course. Great places of learning.
Like Hogwarts?
Not exactly. They're better run, and they've outlawed floating candles. I guess dripping wax is very hard to clean up. You know, not everything that woman wrote is practical for wizards. I'd like to see Harry Potter clean wax off of the floor. But she told a good tale most of the time. I actually worked for the School of Mischief and Merriment in Corfelt, and believe me, there was no mirth to be had when Book 6 came out, and she had the nerve to do that to Dumbledore.
I didn't like that part either, Ozzy admitted. So you've got regular books in that Quar place? Clark questioned.
Some made it in.
What was your job like? Ozzy asked.
I taught the wand care class.
Wait, Ozzy said. You do actually have a wand?
Of course.
I've never seen it, Siggy said stoically.
I've never brandished it while you were around.
Do you have it on you? Ozzy asked.
Of course. What kind of wizard travels around without his wand?
Can you show us? I don't think I want to be brandished, Clark said.
I'll show you later, perhaps. I'm driving, and you humans have designed these cars to require the driver's attention. Check my phone. I think I've got another book downloaded we can listen to.
Ozzy pressed the screen a few times and found the other title. Darren's Mistake, he said with a groan. How about after we find out what this Darren chump did wrong, we spend some time listening to me chirp? Clark asked. Fair enough?
You know, I prefer the term more than fair, Rin said.
Ozzy pressed play, and they drove the rest of the way through Nevada and into Arizona, learning about Darren's mistake and hoping they weren't making a few of their own. Chapter 48. Maybe it's time to believe. The Mule Pole Highway near the tall yellow tree was lined with police cars on both sides of the road. It was morning, and Sheriff Wills was there with most of his on-duty officers, as well as three other officers from Bell's Ferry. Rin and his white car had never made it to the roadblock. When daylight arrived, the police had gone back to the railroad crossing to look for clues. In the light of day, they were able to find tire tracks in the dirt on the shoulder of the road that went up the embankment and then just disappeared.
I don't understand, Sheriff Wills said to Officer Gregg. Cars don't vanish.
Maybe these aren't their tire tracks at all, Gregg said. They could have crossed the rails seconds before the train arrived, which means they're hiding somewhere between here and the roadblock that Bell's Ferry set up. There aren't any other main roads, but there are dozens of small dirt ones. We've had officers checking those roads all morning.
The biggest problem with that theory, Sheriff Wills said, is that even though it was dark last night, I saw the train already stretched out across the road when I turned the corner. How does a car beat a train that's already there?
I don't know, sir. They didn't go through it, and there's no debris or sign of an accident anywhere. Officer Wallow suggested that there might be a portal of some sort.
Sheriff Wills looked bothered.
He was joking, of course, Gregg said.
Of course.
But, Gregg added, it's as good an explanation as any we have.
What about the train?
It was on a long haul to Sacramento. We've contacted the railroad, and they've spoken with the engineer. He had no additional information and no knowledge of any accident or damage to the train.
Let's say these tracks are from the car. And say the car hit the mound going too fast and somehow flew over the train.
Officer Gregg looked conflicted about what to say.
Seems highly unlikely, sir. We saw it sort of weaving, and then in a flash it was gone. Could it have hit that mound of dirt and then landed on the train?
Well, the angle's a little steep, and that seems almost as impossible as a portal, but they'll do a thorough search when the train arrives in Sacramento.
Thank you, Gregg.
You're welcome, sir.
Officer Gregg walked off, and Sheriff Wills stood alone, thinking. He had grown up with Brian, Rin. The two had been friends in grade school. Rin had always been resourceful and kind. Now, it seemed as if his one-time friend might actually be a wizard.
Nah.
Sheriff Wills took out his phone and called Patty to fill her in about what they hadn't found. Chapter 49. Propelled Forward Through Space. By the time they got to Kingman, Arizona, it was beginning to get dark. Collectively, they were all sick of driving and not in the best of spirits. Darren's mistake was now their mistake as well. The book took hours just to reveal that when Darren had been a kid, he had stolen his neighbor's pocket watch, and he felt terrible about it. Patty had been texting Rin all day, demanding to know where he was and wanting to talk to Siggy. Because wizards never text and drive, Rin had Ozzy type his answers and send them to her.
Tell her that the wizardly winds have given me lift.
Wizardly winds? Ozzy asked. That sounds like a medical condition.
Right. Tell her that we are safe, and if the stars dictate, we will be back shortly with Siggy in tow.
Ozzy sent it off, and she responded. She's furious. She also wants to know what happened to her car by the train tracks. Sheriff Wills said it just disappeared.
Tell her he isn't far off.
Ozzy sent it.
Oh, but also tell her the vehicle's all right. Ish.
Okay. Patty's text back was a plea for Rin to stop whatever he was doing and call Sheriff Wills. Rin's text back was a plea for Patty to please check on his fish and tell Sheriff Wills to take a hike. They had done nothing wrong, and since it was now the weekend, Siggy was supposed to be with him. Ozzy didn't understand the reply Patty sent back.
What does... Here, look.
Rin took a quick glance at the phone.
Oh, you probably shouldn't read that out loud.
Arizona was a beautiful state full of varied landscape and nice roads. They stopped at yet another drive-through, and Ozzy thought back to when he used to like them.
This food is making me sick. Just keep eating it. Eventually, you'll get over that feeling.
Ozzy choked it down and then spent a few minutes looking out the window at the passing landscape and wishing he had just eaten a meal from his garden and basement instead.
You know what? Rin said. Let's call that Charles guy again.
It's kind of late in the day, Ozzy pointed out. He didn't answer before. I doubt he'll answer now.
Let's just try, Siggy said.
I'll dial if Rin talks.
A true wizard knows when to be silent and when to speak. This feels like a time for the latter.
Ozzy found the number in Rin's outgoing calls list and pressed it. He handed the device to the wizard.
It's ringing,
Rin said. There were a few moments of silence.
It's still ringing.
If it goes to voicemail, just hang up this time, Ozzy instructed Rin.
It's going to voicemail.
Hang up.
It's telling me to leave a message again. Hang up!
Rin couldn't pass up the chance to have his thoughts recorded.
Yes, he said into the phone. My message to you this evening is that when one door shuts, it is usually for a reason. If it's not been locked, then it should be easy to open again.
Rin ended the call, and everyone just stared at him.
I see you all understand, he said, misinterpreting the mood completely.
That wasn't your strongest message, actually, Clark told him.
Should I call back and leave another?
No, everyone said in sync.
Okay, the wizard said. Now, we'll be driving for about another 3 or 4 hours before we stop for the night. Then tomorrow, it'll take us 3 more hours to get to Albuquerque. In the meantime, who wants to play A Wizard Speaks?
Is that a game? Ozzy asked. Yes, Siggy said. When I was younger, he always made me play it. Rin ignored his daughter's less than enthusiastic tone.
What you do is you look out the windows as we drive, and if you see something magical, you say, A Wizard Speaks, and he sees 2 blue cars in a row.
Ozzy sighed. You and I have such different definitions of magical.
Try it, Rin encouraged. It's very revealing. In no time it will become apparent that the whole world is sprinkled with magic.
Okay, I'll go, Clark said. He looked out the front window. A wizard speaks, and he sees an endless row of telephone poles.
Brilliant,
Rin cheered. Ozzy looked at the long row of telephone poles in front of them that ran along the freeway. They were lit up by the car's headlights. At the angle he was sitting, they did look almost otherworldly and unending. This game is probably easier in the daytime, Ozzy said. That way you can see more than just what's lit up by the lights.
Easier maybe, but not better, the wizard insisted. It's a real marvel to discover that the things so nearby are much more than you once perceived. Your turn, Siggy.
I've never liked this game.
Come on, Clark chided. Say something.
A wizard speaks and he sees a daughter who has spent her whole life having to explain her father to others.
Very nice, Rin said. How fortunate you are to possess knowledge to teach others. Some people go their whole lives never having the courage to explain anything. What about you, Oz? Give it a try.
The boy looked out the front window at the freeway before them. He saw the telephone poles and the lines painted on the road. He noticed the faded sky at the edge of the headlights' glow and felt the smooth turning of the tires beneath him. Siggy was breathing softly in the back seat. The ordinary moment began to feel ethereal and important. His brain buzzed softly. A wizard speaks, and he feels the weight of his body being propelled forward through space.
Well done, Rin whispered.
No fair, Clark said. That's cheating. It's supposed to be what a wizard sees and not feels, because if feels count, I'm feeling the same thing.
Points for both of you.
Clark was okay with that. The game continued, and the miles ticked off, and each time a wizard spoke, the world became larger and less complicated, and smaller and more intricate. By the time they reached the New Mexico border, Ozzy, Clark, and Siggy were surprised to already have driven so far.
Time flies occasionally, Rin said. But I have also seen it languish and whimper as its stomach crawls across the floor. We'll stop in about an hour.
Good, because this moving cage is killing me, Clark complained, as if he wasn't a mechanical bird who could just shut himself off at any point. Here, Siggy said. Rest on my lap. Clark settled onto Siggy's lap and yawned. Are you doing okay? Ozzy asked Rin. You're not going to fall asleep driving, are you?
Of course not. That's not something that would ever happen to a wizard. Now, I've seen one or two drop from a broom while flying, There's something about the wind on your face that makes you tired. That's why you see very few wizards driving convertibles.
Oh, that's why. I did wonder.
Ozzy smiled and closed his eyes. Chapter 50 Fake Personalities. Gallup, New Mexico is probably pretty, but it was so late when they arrived that they didn't see much of it. They checked into the Motel 6, and Ozzy and Rin were out the moment their heads hit the bed. Clark found a nice spot on top of a mini-fridge in the room and shut down there. Siggy got her own room right next door and was out just as fast. When they got up, they realized that Gallup itself wasn't much to look at after all. There were a number of fast food restaurants, some industrial-looking buildings, and at least 10 boarded-up gas stations. The land around Gallup, however, was beautiful. Breathtaking deserts and flat mesas made from dirt the color of cinnamon and mahogany. Stretches of green topped the mesas like fuzzy toupees on a bunch of blocky heads. They gassed up the car and then went through the McDonald's drive-thru to get breakfast. Rested and ready, they were on the freeway and heading towards Albuquerque by 9 a.m.
I feel a lot better, Ozzy said between bites of a sausage burrito.
Breakfast will do that to you.
Clark chewed on bits of hash brown while standing on the dashboard.
I like the texture of these, and they make my beak greasy.
After eating, they brainstormed as a group. In a couple of hours, they would be in Albuquerque, and they still weren't sure exactly how things would go down.
We can't just go in there all willy-nilly, Rin said. It's smart to plan, wise to expect changes, and acceptable to be nervous about both scenarios.
Okay, first we have to find where his office is, Ozzy said.
That's easy. The map on the phone will take us right to the address, Siggy reminded him.
Good. Second, we need to think about our approach.
I would just drive on the streets that the phone tells you to, Clark suggested.
Not our actual approach, but what we want to say, Ozzy clarified. I don't know if it would be smart to go in there and tell him I'm his step-nephew, and my missing mother told me to come see him.
That's true, Rin agreed. Honesty is pretty powerful stuff. We might want to spread it cautiously.
We should tell him you're a rich inventor, kid, and pretend you invented me, Clark suggested.
Everyone stared at the bird.
That's not a horrible idea, see?
Of course it's not. That's why I said it.
So, why am I showing him my bird invention?
Because you're so proud of how beautifully it turned out.
No, why am I showing it to him? It's not like kids all over the world go to Charles when they have neat-looking science projects.
You think I'm neat-looking?
Of course.
Thank you.
What's Charles's business anyway? Siggy asked.
I'm not sure exactly what Harkin Corporation is, but it says he works closely with the National Labs who have a site in Albuquerque.
So he's a science guy like your dad, she observed.
Maybe he's already invented his own bird, Clark tweeted excitedly. This could be great!
I don't think he did, Ozzy said, trying to keep Clark's hopes realistic. I don't know that we can get him to talk without saying who we are, but I would like to hold that information until we know more about him.
Okay.
Rin switched lanes and then switched back for no apparent reason.
Sorry, I didn't like that one after all. So, okay, here's what we do. We go into his office and tell him that we're a very wealthy and eccentric family. A father and his daughter and son. We let him know that we have more money than sense and that we're on a treasure hunt of sorts. We show him the orange cassette tape we have and say that we found it at an estate sale in Burlington, Vermont. Then,
why Burlington? Siggy interrupted.
I don't know. I've just always wanted to live there. Plus, it's on the other side of the country, so we're not giving our position away. We tell him we searched for his name, and that he was the only Charles Plankdorf to come up. Since we're so wealthy and don't possess the good sense to spend our time wisely, we decided to take a trip and see if he was the one mentioned on the tape.
It might work, Ozzie said. It's an interesting story, and maybe he'll be intrigued enough to go along for a spell.
I like your choice of words.
Still, Clark chirped, I think showing me off would be better.
You can ride on my shoulder like a metal parrot statue, Rin suggested. It will add to the oddity. Now, let's work on our backstory so we don't make any mistakes. For starters, I made my fortune in the diaper industry.
Ozzie shrugged. Why not? The four of them worked out their history and who they would be. By the time they got to Albuquerque, they had assumed their new roles and were ready to perform the charade. The city was spread out like a massive board game stitched together out of boards and pieces from every game in the closet. There were trees here and there, and roads and freeways heading in every direction. In the distance, the Sandia mountain range towered over the east horizon.
That mountain has the world's longest tram on it, Rin said. There's a restaurant up at the top. I remember that I didn't like what I ordered.
Was it breakfast food? Ozzie asked.
Sadly, no, but I once helped a woman in a castle here. She had trouble sleeping.
Did you tell her some of your Wizard World stories? Clark asked. I know those make me sleepy. Rin smiled.
Bird humor is so subtle. It wasn't a very authentic castle, and the woman was unhappy with the results.
Harkin Corporation was just off the freeway in a large, misshapen building with metal front doors and small windows. Rin parked the car in the parking lot and turned it off. He looked at Ozzie and his daughter.
Ready, Salvin and Hawney?
Really? Siggy said. Am I Hawney?
Yes, it means apple wedge in Corfelt. Now, come on, you two.
Yes, father, Ozzie said reluctantly. Clark hopped onto Rin's right shoulder, and they climbed out of the car. Chapter 51. I See That There Is Evil. Lynette Tillman had worked for Charles Plankdorf and Harkin Corporation for more than 10 years. In all that time, she had never seen a group of people quite like the three who had just walked in. The older man was wearing a short, open robe over a black T-shirt and jeans. He had on a pointy felt hat and a long, dark beard that was sprinkled with gray. On his shoulder was a fake bird. The boy was tall and strikingly handsome. He had gray eyes that looked as if they belonged to a much older and wiser person, and the girl beside him was beautiful, with dark skin and sincere brown eyes.
"Good day to you, madame,"
Rin said, using a fake accent that didn't fit any known accent in the world.
"How are you this fine afternoon?"
"I am well," Lynette said with a professional smile. "Welcome to Harkin Corporation. May I help you?"
"Yes, this is me son Salvin, and a daughter, Hawney. We three are he to see a Mr. Charles Plankdorf. Is he in?"
"And your business?"
"I've sold diapers the last 20 years.
"I see," she said. "What I meant to ask is, what is your business with Mr. Plankdorf?"
"Of course. Look at me bragging without needing to. We, my children and I, that is, have a question that we believes only Mr. Plankdorf can answer."
"Could you try the question out on me first?" Lynette asked, like the professional she was.
"I would tell you,"
Rin said, trying desperately to keep up his weird fake accent.
"But I, has traveled some distance, and we are very bit the eccentric beings we peers to be. What I try to say is we discovered a tape at an estate sale in Burlington, Vermont."
Rin paused for some unknown reason, and Lynette just stared.
"Have you ever been there?"
he asked. "No, I'm afraid I haven't."
"Nothing to be scared of. But if you get the chance, you might put that on yeast travel plans. It is a lovely town, The people's is enchanting.
I'm sure. Lynette looked as if she was having some fun with the conversation. It was a quiet afternoon, and these strangers were providing a good story she could tell her friends later that evening. Go on.
Thank you, I will. We found this tape, and upon listening to, discovered it mentions the name of one Charles Plankdorf, not in a negative way, but in a way that made I want to drop what we are doing and search hims out.
So you traveled across the country to talk to a man who was mentioned on a tape you found in a box at a garage sale?
Estate sale, but yes, is gist of it. Not to toot my own horn, but I am exceedingly well off, and my fortune gives me the freedom to act on impulse and whim.
Lynette was tempted to just send them on their way, but she knew very well that her boss dealt in secrets. If there was any chance the tape contained something that could either harm or benefit him, it was worth the time to find out. "Can you wait a moment?" she asked.
"Of course."
The assistant motioned to a waiting area with three handsome couches to the side of her desk. "Please take a seat, and I'll see what I can do."
"Thank you,"
Rin said. Lynette walked off, and the wizard and his fake family sat on the couches and tried not to look too nervous. "What accent are you trying to do?" Clark asked while standing perfectly still on Rin's shoulder.
"It's from the North Hills of Corfell. Wizards are very adept at speech. In a way, we need to speak and understand every language there is. Magic does not have an official language."
"Whatever it is, it's really awful, Dad," Siggy said. Lynette came back out. "Mr. Plankdorf will see you," she announced, as if they should be extremely grateful for the honor.
"Excellent,"
Rin said, standing up. "May I take your robe and hat?"
"Not on your life," Rin told her. "The robe is my blanket of security. I have brokered countless deals in this garment, and I can see no reason to remove it now. And the hat hides a scar."
"Then please keep them on." Lynette led them through the double doors behind her desk and down a long white hallway. At the last door on the left, she stopped. Before opening it, she spoke. "Mr. Plankdorf is a busy man. If you are wasting his time, he will sniff it out and ask you to leave immediately. And remember, there are cameras everywhere. We take security and order seriously at Harkin Corporation."
"As one must," Rin said.
Lynette opened the door and walked into the room. Ozzy, Siggy, and Rin followed. The office was large and sterile-looking. There was a glass desk, a few new books on a tall bookcase, and some modern furniture. Sitting behind the desk was Charles. "Mr. Plankdorf, this is... I don't believe I got your name," she said to Rin.
"Sirius," he replied. "Sirius Knight."
"Sirius Knight and his son Salvin and daughter Hawney," Lynette announced. Charles didn't stand up from his chair, but he did speak.
"Come in and have a seat. You have 3 minutes to tell me what you came to say." "We will only need two,"
Rin said with a smile. Lynette left the office and closed the door behind her. The trio walked towards the desk and sat in the chairs that were facing it. Charles Plankdorf looked just like the picture they had seen online. He had a nice head of dark hair and puffy cheeks. His eyes were brown and his nostrils flared as he pinched his lips together.
"You say you have a tape?"
"We do," Ozzy said. "But before we tell you what's on it, can I ask you a question?"
"Fine."
"Do you know a Dr. Emmett and Dr. Mia Toffee?"
The reaction in Charles's brown eyes and pale face was subtle, but strong. There is no doubt that the names he'd heard meant something to him. He pinched his lips tighter and then spoke.
"I may have known those individuals a lifetime ago."
"Well," Rin said, "then what we have to say may be of interest to you."
Charles Plankdorf sat in his big, fancy chair behind his desk and listened to every word that Ozzy and Rin and Siggy told him. He made no comments and kept his expression neutral. His cell phone beeped a couple of times, but he ignored it. The story the trio gave was well rehearsed and sounded almost plausible. Ozzy wanted to drop the facade and just tell the truth, but he knew there was reason to be cautious. His parents had been taken, and somewhere in all the mystery, there was an evil element that had enough dark in its heart to steal his parents and leave him for dead. They didn't show him the tape or attempt to play it, but they recited word for word what Mia had said at the end.
"So you see," Rin said, "we're just curious as to the fate of this woman on the tape. It seems as if her last words were in regard to you. When we searched for her online, we found no information past the point when she and her husband quickly left New York."
Charles finally spoke.
"It is almost unbelievable to think that you and your children would travel across the country just to find out about what one woman said on the end of a recording that was probably made years ago.
Well, as I mentioned, we are eccentrics."
"Yes, you mentioned that. 4 times, I believe. I'm not sure a true eccentric would even realize that they are one."
"Fair point," Rin said, smiling. "I suppose I am more normal than I give myself credit."
"And shouldn't your children be in school somewhere?"
"We are privately tutored," Siggy said.
"The other children gave them grief about their importance," Rin continued to lie, "so I pulled them both out."
"And you say you made your fortune in diapers?"
"Ah, yes, but not wearing them, selling them. Now, do you know more about this woman, or did we come all this way just to find out this is a dead end?"
Charles cleared his throat, but didn't speak.
"May I ask you what your business here is?" Rin said. "This appears to be a very important and strange building, and there doesn't seem to be much about your company online."
"I deal in information," Charles said.
The wizard smiled.
"That's good, because it's information we want."
Charles stood up. There was no way for him to know that this moment had begun years ago, that the questions he was being asked had been formulating throughout Ozzy's entire life. He was unaware that what he was about to say would have any real impact on the 3 strangers that had interrupted his day in the most surprising of ways. He didn't know the weight his words carried, but he tossed them out anyway.
"I suppose it does no harm to inform you that Emmett was my half-brother. His mother was my mother."
"Is he still alive?" Ozzy couldn't stop himself from asking. Charles stared at the boy. His brown eyes connected with Ozzy's gray. For a moment, it seemed as if he saw something new in Ozzy. He blinked and rubbed his chin while he continued to stare.
"Are you okay?"
Rin asked.
"Fine.
I'm fine,"
Charles said, shaking his pensive look away.
"I don't know if Mia and Emmett are alive or dead. They disappeared, and no one ever heard from them again. It haunts me to hear of them now."
"What were they like?" Ozzy asked, trying his hardest to act uninterested.
"They were brilliant. Actually, too smart for their own good. Emmett could build anything. No problem was too large and no obstacle stopped him. He was obsessed with the mind and people's free will."
Ozzy knew most of the information Charles was giving them, thanks to the tapes he had listened to for years.
"Mia was beautiful," Charles continued. "Her understanding of the human condition was second to none. I only knew her the short year before they disappeared. They had a child when they left New York, a son. He would probably be about your age now, Salvin. How old are you?"
16,
Ozzy lied.
"Well, he would be a little younger."
and they just decided to leave New York and move elsewhere?
What they decided was to leave everyone who loved them and not say a word.
Sorry, Rin said.
You played no part in that, so the apology isn't necessary. I moved away from New York shortly after that, and I don't believe a single person has heard from them since.
Other people's lives, Rin said reflectively. It never ceases to amaze me how the world is filled with so many souls, and each one of us has a catalog of stories to tell.
Did these people have other family? Ozzy wanted more information. What about your and his mother?
My mother died about 2 years before they left New York, and I believe his father had passed away before that. We had no other siblings. I'm not 100% sure about Mia. I never heard her talk about her parents or siblings. You'd think after so many years that would have come up.
Ozzy stared at Charles. You said you only knew her a year, the boy pointed out. Charles momentarily looked at a loss for words.
Well, a year's a slight figure of speech, he explained. I saw them every other week, and they held dinner parties once a month. We had a lot of interaction, even if it was a bit more than a year that I knew them.
Ozzy smiled and pretended that he was okay with the answer, but his chest tightened, and he realized he no longer wanted to tell his half-uncle the whole truth. There was a knock on the office door, and a short man wearing a uniform of some sort entered.
Come in, Eric, Charles said briskly. I'm with visitors.
Eric walked up to Charles and handed him a folder. As Charles studied the folder, Eric looked at Rin and gave a friendly nod. He looked at Ozzy and froze. His eyes locked with the boy's, and his hands began to tremble slightly. He glanced down to get a better look at Ozzy's hand.
Thanks, Eric, Charles said. You can go.
Eric continued to stare at Ozzy's eyes.
You can go!
Charles snapped.
Leave us!
Yes. Yes, of course.
Eric shook off whatever he was feeling and left.
Now, Charles said to Rin once the door was closed, how about you let me see that tape, and I'll get someone to track down a way to listen to it.
No, Ozzy said suddenly. I mean, we can't. We don't have it with us. We left it at the hotel.
Oh, Charles said, sounding suspicious. What hotel?
The Marriott,
Rin said, catching on to the fact that Ozzy now felt a need to keep the secret a bit longer.
What's up with this town not having a more upscale place for us to stay? Well, I would like to hear it, Charles said. After all, it's my half-brother's wife talking about me. No problem, Rin said. We were going to go back and get it once we realized we'd left it at the hotel, but we figured we'd make sure you were truly connected to the Toffees first. I see.
We'll run get it now, Ozzy said. Will you be here the rest of the day?
How about I follow you to your hotel? You can grab the tape and then we'll have a late lunch or an early dinner together.
That's very generous, Rin said. But I'm eccentric, and I don't like people following me. So we'll retrieve the tape and return later this afternoon.
Are you sure?
Yes, Ozzy said.
Well, I would have loved to get something to eat with you three, but it might be best for me to keep working.
Excellent, Rin said. Just one last question. Why do you think Mia wanted anyone listening to that tape to talk to you?
I can't imagine. Maybe she knew I had a connection with her husband.
Sure, that's probably it,
Rin said, slapping his wizard forehead with his right palm.
Now, can I ask you a last question? Charles said.
Rin nodded.
Why do you have a bird on your shoulder?
First of all, I appreciate your noticing. Second of all, it's to let others know I'm eccentric before I even open my mouth.
Mission accomplished, Charles said.
I'm not a huge fan of birds, but it works for you. Now, have my secretary give you my personal number and be sure to leave yours. That way, if there's a change of plans on either side, we can notify one another.
We will, Ozzy said, standing up. Charles stared at the boy's eyes again.
What color would you say your eyes are, Salvin?
I'm afraid you already asked your last question for the moment, Rin said in a friendly tone. Your words, not mine. Save it for later.
Rin stood and followed Ozzy and Siggy out of the office. Chapter 52 Worry and Hope. As soon as Rin and Ozzy had left the office and the door was closed, Charles picked up his phone and dialed a number.
Come to my office at once, he ordered. There's a situation.
Charles hung up the phone and stared at the air in front of him with an expression of anger and worry. For years he had worked tirelessly and spent millions of dollars trying to recreate the formula his half-brother had once discovered. It was his obsession to figure it out. There had been countless setbacks, and he had done things that he would have rather not done in the quest to find the answer. But even after all the trials, a team of scientists at his command, the code had not been broken, and the project had been canceled. Now, three strangers had walked through his door, claiming to have a tape that could contain answers, or at the very least a reason for Harkin Corporation to start working on the project again. The excitement he felt was intoxicating. He picked up his phone once more and pressed a button.
Are they gone?
He asked Lynette. Yes, Mr. Plankdorf, they just left.
Did you get their information and give them mine?
I did.
Good. Now, find out as much as you can about this serious knight. He claims to be some sort of diaper mogul. I need to know exactly who he is.
Of course. Lynette went to work on her end, and Charles leaned back in his chair and let his brain process this new information. It could be nothing, but as Charles knew, few things ever were. Most smoke, he had discovered, was accompanied by fire. And if this was a real breakthrough, then the course of mankind could be close to taking a big step forward. His office door opened, and three men came in.
I have things I need you to do.
Charles gave them their orders and sent them out to get what he wanted. Chapter 53 Burritos and Break-Ins. Ozzy, Rin, Siggy, and Clark climbed into the beat-up white car. All four of them exhaled.
Why didn't you tell him who you really are? Rin asked. I thought that was the plan.
I was going to, but then something he said made me rethink it.
Was it the crack about not liking birds? Clark asked.
No. He said that he knew my mom for years, and he also said he'd only met her the year before she disappeared.
He said it was a figure of speech, Siggy reminded him.
No, it's more than that. Also, did you see the way he reacted when I first said my parents' names? It wasn't a look of caring or sadness. It was a look of fear.
I did notice that, Siggy said. So now what?
We drive away and pretend we're going to get the tape.
Rin started the car and pulled out of the parking lot. He got on the road leading back to the freeway.
I don't know what it was, Ozzy said. I wanted to tell him the truth, but something about him seemed way off.
Then you did the right thing.
Rin looked proud.
I can think of nobody better to trust than one's own self. Or maybe Snilf. He's the current high wizard in Corfelt.
Rin merged onto the freeway.
Maybe we should eat something, he suggested. It'll clear our heads and give us a moment to regroup. We'll kill two birds with one stone.
I hate that expression, Clark said.
So sorry, Rin apologized. Now, I wonder who serves a decent breakfast around here.
Siggy looked on the phone and found a